Good morning again. Last week we started talking about the promised child. That's what Christmas is about. We went to, in the book of Genesis, to the fall of man, the beginning, and the Bible said God created everything, including the man and woman. They were very good. Well, then they fell. They disobeyed God, and that's why things are in the mess they're in today. But he didn't leave them hanging. He promised the devil, the man, and the woman that there's going to be a child come from the woman who's going to bruise his head. And today we're going to talk about this same child again. I entitled this The Design of God for Man. And as part two, we're going to see how God's going to work this into human history. Last week we just saw, he said there's going to be a woman, child come from the woman. And it gets a little more precise. We'll be in the book of Genesis again, and this time we're going to be talking about a man named Abram, or Abraham. You're probably very familiar with his story. But we're in Genesis 22, and we'll be looking at verses 15 through 18. And the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this and not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." Father, I thank you for the truth of your word. I thank you for those who were able to come out this morning and to hear your word. And I just pray that you will open our eyes, open our hearts to receive this from you. May it be a blessing and an encouragement to us. I just ask that you watch over us, watch over this church. Father, please let your spirit come that we might have revival. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I like history. And so I read a little of Josephus this week. And he talks about creation all the way through the biblical accounts. He gives a record of Hebrew history. And he said about Abram that he was born 292 years after the flood. So the waters have subsided. Abraham was born 290 years, 2 years later. So he'd have been 8 years old when Noah died. Now the reason I want to point that out, he was a descendant of Shem, one of Noah's sons, and it's very likely that he grew up hearing Grandpa Noah or Grandpa Shem talk about the flood. And I say that to say that men knew who God was. God never left himself without a witness. And Josephus said that Abram was a highly intelligent man. He called him a sage and said he was highly respected for his wisdom. He was especially skilled in mathematics and astronomy. And I saw a show several years ago of an archaeological dig they did in Ur of the Chaldees. That's where Abram came from. And they said they found clay tablets with advanced algebra and trigonometry math problems. It just blew them away. They said it was from the time period of 3,000 years or better ago. They didn't think men understood advanced math in those days. So when Josephus said Abram was very skilled in mathematics, now we have, for the world's benefit, we have scientific proof of that. We have historical fact that he was very skilled in mathematics and astronomy, but he had a problem. He believed there was only one God. He was what we would call a monotheist. Well, in Ur, where he lived, and in Mesopotamia, they worship planets and idols. And Josephus records that Abram would talk to them and try to convince them to give that up. He said, there's only one true God, the creator of all things, the one who flooded the earth, and we need to turn and worship him. Well, he said that wasn't very well received. In the time that he was living in, men were breaking free from God in their own estimate. They didn't want anything to do with God, so they made up their own gods. But Abram took a stand and said, no, I really believe that he had probably got a chance to talk to Noah or to Shem, one of the people that had been in the flood. I think he grew up hearing about it, and he had made up his mind, that's God, the God they're talking about. And Josephus said he used very convincing arguments, but he said it wasn't real well received, and he said things got kind of hot for him. And Abram decided that maybe it was time for him to move. And he said it was at this time that God spoke to him and said, yeah, pack up your family and move to a place that I'll show you. So at 75 years old, this man gathered his family, his wife, his nephew, all of his belongings, packed up, and didn't even know where he was going. God said, I'll show you where I want you to go. So I can imagine he went home and said, honey, pack your bags, get everything gathered up. We're going to pack up and move. And maybe she'd say where. He said, I don't know. We're just going to go. But they went. And God brought them to Canaan. We know that from the scriptural accounts, to the land of Canaan. And he said, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. So I want you to get up and walk through the whole breadth of the land. Everywhere your foot touches, your descendants will have it. He didn't tell him he would have it. Well, the problem was Abraham and Sarah didn't have any kids. He had adopted his nephew Lot, and they didn't have any children of their own. And he was 75 at this time. 75 years old. And he picked up and moved at God's behoost. God saying, go ahead, you know, yeah, move. And he gets to the land, and God says, I'm going to give this land to your descendants. Well, it'd only be natural for Abraham to think, what descendants? We don't have any descendants. But God considered Abraham a righteous man because of his faith. God testified that Abraham had faith. He even called him his friend. I thought that's kind of cool. You know, I mean, how would you like to hear God say, yeah, that's one of my friends? And he said that about Abraham. And the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. This is in Genesis 15. This is the first mention of his faith. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abram. He called him Abram, and we'll talk about that very quickly. For I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, this man shall not be your heir. Your very own son shall be your heir. And he brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. And he believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. This was 10 years after they were in Canaan. 10 years they were waiting for this kid, this child to be born. And Abraham, understandably, Abram means exalted father. That was his name. And understandably, Abram said, we still don't have a kid. What descendants are you talking about? And in essence, he's saying, God, you're all talking no do. I mean, we've been waiting 10 years. We're getting a little long in the tooth to have kids. If you're going to do something, you better hurry up and do it. And God said, well, count the stars. That's how many offspring, how many children you'll have, how many descendants. And said Abram believed him. Now that's faith. Abram said, okay, I don't know how you're going to do this, but okay, you said it, I believe it. Now this is 10 years. If you're familiar with the story, what happens immediately after that, Abram's wife said, well, God's not letting me have kids. So she took one of her servant girls and gave him to Abram as a present, as a wife. I told my wife one day, if you're wondering what to get me for Christmas, you know, read Genesis. That might give you some ideas. She didn't see the humor in that, but I was only joking. But I don't want any more wives. I'm getting sidetracked, I'm sorry. But she gave Hagar to Abram, his wife, and says, she'll have kids, and they'll be mine, which was the practice of the culture in that day. So Abram and Hagar got together, and Ishmael was born. Now, he's 86 when Ishmael's born. So Abram and Sarah think, now we got it covered. Here, God, we helped you out. Here's the son that you promised. Well, I mean, you know, that wasn't God's plan. God was not in that. They thought they would help him out. Now, they'd been in Canaan 10 years, and he and Hagar have Ishmael, and they think, we got this figured out. We got this settled. Ishmael's going to be the one that God's going to bless. But that's not what God's plan was. How many of you understand, hopefully, God's plans are not ours? And our plans are not God's. It's real easy to say, well, I believe this is God's will. And we bring our plans to God and we go, here's my plan, God bless it. Here's the plan for my life. This is what I'm going to do. And it doesn't work that way. God will say, I know the plans I have for you. And those aren't it. Now, Abram and Sarah think they're doing fine. We've done what God, they actually felt like we've done what God wanted us to do. Now we've got an heir. 13 years later, it says God appeared to Abram. Remember, Abram means exalted father. And God said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Abraham means father of a multitude. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. Now, we know that the Jews came from Abraham. The Jews know they came from Abraham. The nation of Israel came from Abraham. So God begins by saying, I'm going to give you offspring. And I didn't read it to you, but in that promise, he said, there'll be kings come out of you. I'm going to make you a great nation, Abraham. Now God has shifted the focus, and it's not just one nation. He said, there will be nations come from you. Yeah, God's saying, a nation, that isn't big enough. There's going to be more nations. And I imagine this is blowing Abraham's mind. In fact, in the gist of the conversation, Abraham goes, oh God, I wish Ishmael could just live before you. I could see him saying, I don't have it in me, Lord. Hey, look, here's Ishmael. We did what you wanted. Here's my heir. Just work through him. And God said, no, that's not my plan at all. He said, I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your offspring after you. 1 year later, Isaac was born. Abram was 99 when God appeared to him. 1 year later, 25 years after God told him to go to Canaan, 25 years after God promised him, I'm going to give you a son. God did it. It's never in our time in church. I think God did it so Abram and Sarah would understand this is all me. It's not dependent on your abilities. It said Sarah was past the age of childbearing. She was 90 when Isaac was born. Abraham was 100. And the Bible talks about God calling things that are not as though they were. I've heard some of them prosperity preachers twist that around and say, you and I have that authority. No, we don't. God's the only one that has that authority. Yeah. And God looked at Abraham and he said, you're going to be the father of nations. In fact, I'm changing your name to father of a multitude. He was calling things that were not yet as though they were already were. Well, that's the sovereignty of God. God said, I know what I'm doing. Now they have Isaac. That name means he laughs. When Isaac was born, it said Sarah laughed. She said, who would have thought that I would have bore a child to Abraham at this age and been nursing a baby? God had been telling for 25 years it was going to happen, but it happened in his timing. Now, Paul, and I'm not getting sidetracked, bear with me. Paul referred to Isaac as the child of promise, of the promise, and he was. Ishmael was not a child of the promise. He was a child of the flesh, the physical efforts of Abram and Hagar. But God said, I'm giving you a son. This is a child of promise. And Paul said, Isaac was that child of promise. Well, if you know the story, after Isaac's born, Sarah said, I want you to get Ishmael out of here. And Abram sent him away. Abraham sent him away. Said it grieved him, but he sent him away. God told Abraham, yeah, you listen to your wife and send him away, because he doesn't get to be an heir with the promise that I've made. In Isaac shall your offspring be, shall your seed be called. Isaac's the one I'm making my covenant with. Paul also said to the church of his day, we, like Isaac, are the children of promise. See, the Jewish Christians had a big problem after they became Christians to understand that God was going to save Gentiles too. They had a problem with that. We're God's covenant kids. We're the children of Abraham. We're his offspring. But Paul pointed out to the church of Galatia, when God said, through your offspring, all the nations will be blessed, he said he didn't say offsprings, meaning many. And that's how the Jews read the Bible. That's how they read their law. They thought that God was saying to Abraham, through the whole nation of Israel, all nations will be blessed. We owe them a lot. Don't get me wrong. There's no room for anti-Semitism in the church. I hear a lot of Jew hate talk going on by professed Christians. There's no place for it. Because of them, we have the Bible. We have the law. We have the ordinances of God, the very oracles of God. And because of them, this is where Christianity came from. That's why they call it Judeo-Christianity. Because the first Christian church was in Jerusalem. It was Jews. But they had a little problem with God trying to save Gentiles. And they were going around telling these Gentiles, you got to be circumcised and obey the law of Moses or you can't be saved. That was after Christ did what he did. And Paul wrote to this Galatian church, he said, no. He said, when God said to Abram, through your seed, through your offspring, through your child, all nations will be blessed. He said, he didn't say children, plural. He said one child. And he said, that child was Christ. So you see, God promised the first man and woman there's going to be a child come. And he said, devil, he's going to bruise your head. Now he takes this man named Abram that he's chosen and he's saying, and this child is coming from you, from your race, from your bloodline. Jesus is a Jew. When I hear people running the Jews down, you know, hating the Jews, wait a minute, Jesus is a Jew. And they say, well, I'm a Christian. Well, then you worship a Jew. No, Jesus isn't a Jew. Jesus was a white man. Don't you know that? Oh, I get so tired of hearing that. Or Jesus was black. Jesus is a Jew. Born a Jew, died a Jew, raised a Jew, sitting at the right hand of heaven, a Jew. I'm talking about in his body, his descendancy according to the flesh, he's Jewish. I love the Jewish people. Israel's my brother. That's the way I feel about them. Yeah. Paul said if God rejected them in order to bring the Gentiles in, he said, what do you think is going to happen when he turns around and he pulls the Jews back in? Yeah. I'm looking forward to that. So God told this first man and woman, there's going to be a child. He told this guy, and the child's coming out of your bloodline. Now, I entitled this God's Design for Man. What was his design? He wanted to bless all nations. You see, man fell in the garden, man and woman fell. They sold themselves as slaves to sin, and God could have left it there, but he didn't. He said, I'm going to fix this. There's going to be a child come from the woman. Very unique. There'll be a child come out of the woman, and she's going to bruise your head. And he said, Abram, I'm going to bless all the nations of the earth through one of your children, one child. That was his design. God has been working in the process since the fall of man to redeem us and pull us back to him, those who would listen to him. I believe in free will. I don't believe in predestination of the damned and predestination of the saved in the sense that I hear some teach it. The plan of salvation was predestined. The Bible said before the foundations of the world was even laid, God had it all figured out. He knew what was going to happen. He already had the plan. So now he's saying to this guy, this child is going to come through you. And Paul identified that child, the Christ. This is the Christmas season. This is what we're about, is to celebrate the birth of the Christ. Sometimes we act like Christ is just Jesus' last name. It's not. It's a title. It's properly, we should call him Jesus the Christ. Because Christ means the anointed. The Mashiach in Hebrew, the anointed one. So God said to Abraham, the Mashiach, he's coming through you. Wow. Abraham, you're going to have a kid way, way, way down the line, going to be the Mashiach. If you're familiar with the story of David, God told David, I'm going to raise up one of your sons and his kingdom will last forever. And so David went and prayed to God and said, who am I that you show me that kind of mercy? That's the promised child. Now, he didn't come in the usual way. We'll talk about that next week through the prophet Isaiah, the uniqueness of Jesus. I'm afraid a lot of churches today, we forgot that. The uniqueness of Jesus, the divinity of Jesus, God in the flesh. I'll give you a little preview. His name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us. But I don't want to get into that because I'll spoil it for next week. God said to Abram, your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. Now here he's speaking in singular again. His enemies, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed because you obeyed my voice. We came in on part of the story. If you're familiar with it, God told Abram, Josephus said Isaac would have been about 25 at this time. He said, I want you to take your son, your only son, and I want you to take him to a mountain that I'll show you, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering. A kid they'd waited 25 years for and then God said, now I want you to give him back to me. Basically, that's what he was saying. Now you give him to me as a burnt offering. And Abram took Isaac. He took the wood, he took the fire, he took a knife, took some servants and a donkey. And it said they traveled, and on the third day, he looked up and God showed him where he wanted him to go, and he told the servants, you stay here. But he said something I just caught one time. He said, you stay here, me and the boy are going to go worship, and we will be back. Liar. You're going up there to kill him. And you're saying we will be back? That was faith. The writer of Hebrews gives us insight into that. He said Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. So he wasn't lying. He was speaking by faith. I believe that God is going to raise Isaac if I do sacrifice him, because Isaac's the one that God's promised that he's going to work through. The child of promise. Well, he said he had everything ready, and Isaac said, Dad, where's the lamb? That'd have broke my heart. Dad, we got fire, we got wood, you got the knife, where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide a lamb. Then he tied him up and laid him on the wood. Now, if I was Isaac, I'd have been sweating a little bit at that time. I really thought, wait a minute. I'm the Lamb. And it said he raised his hand with the knife, and God spoke to him through an angel and said, Abraham, stop. God never intended for Abraham to kill his son. And God said, now I know that you fear me. I think he was saying, now I know I can trust you. I know I've picked the right guy for this job. I've picked the right one that this nation's going to come out of. I've picked the right bloodline for the Messiah to come out of, because you obeyed me. I want to close with a point here that the writer of Hebrews makes. The Lord said, by myself I have sworn. And the writer of Hebrews says, for when God made a promise to Abraham, since he had no one greater by whom to swear, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless you and multiply you. And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, obtained the promise. For people swear by something greater than themselves, and in all their disputes, an oath is final for confirmation. In the law of Moses, if there was a dispute, and you took an oath in the name of God, and you said, I swear by God, God said in the law, that ends it. If a neighbor accused you of stealing some livestock or not taking care of something, not doing something you were supposed to do, and he falsely said, well, I think you did this, or I think you took it, God said, if the other party was willing to say, I swear by God, he said, that ended it. But he warned him, don't swear falsely. But that put an end to the dispute. God said, that's it. And the writer of Hebrews said, because there was nobody else greater to swear by, God said, Abraham, I swear by myself. Now, he said that he did that for two immutable things that you and I, as believers, would have a hope. God cannot lie. And the fact that he swore by himself. He said, we have a strong hope. A refuge in Jesus Christ. I think, this is my own opinion, I think when God did that, Abraham said, that's good enough for me. I think it was settled once and for all. I think he quit arguing with God. He quit questioning God. He just said, that's all I need. God said, Abraham, I swear by myself. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to multiply your offspring. And through your offspring, Paul said, not many, but one, all the nations will be blessed. That's God's design for man. This world is lost. It's deceived. It's in the dark. It's blind. It hates God. It fights against God. And yet God still loves us enough that he sent his son to bless us. The Bible says, in turning us away from our sins. That's God's design. He is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of repentance. Now, he very plainly says in the Word, there will come a day that door to mercy is going to shut. God's going to say no more. We were talking in Sunday school. When God shut the door of the ark and the floodwaters came, I imagine there were, if anyone could get to the ark, there were scores of people banging on the side saying, we believe now, Noah, let us in. And God said, no, the door's shut. Same thing's going to happen when the Lord returns. The door to God's mercy will be closed. It'll be too late. You know, this is a wicked world. It's a world full of suffering. Why does God allow that to happen? The Bible says because he doesn't want anyone to perish. And because of his patience. He's wanting everyone that will to be saved. That's our choice. Am I saying you get saved by your own power? No. You have to decide to take God up on this offer of mercy. And not everybody will. That's what Christmas is about, church. It's not Santa Claus and how many gifts I get or how big of a tree I have. And I'm not against gift giving and trees. But we lose focus that the reason for the season, at least within the church, is supposed to be, we're supposed to be celebrating the birth of our Savior. The one that God sent to save us. That's what Christmas is about. That's what it's for remembering. It said, The writer of Hebrews went on to say God wanted to show more convincingly to the heirs of salvation his promise by swearing by himself. Now, if you don't believe in the character of God, that doesn't mean anything to you. But God wanted so much for us to understand. He said, the best I can do to you is to swear by my own name. And God doesn't lie. This promised offspring, this child of the woman that God has promised, would not be just another man. And next week, we're going to look at the prophet Isaiah and see what God had to say about this man, this child, this son of the woman. Would you stand with me, please? If you've never called out to God, and that's what the scriptures say, to call out to the name of the Lord, do it. Don't fight, don't debate, don't argue with him. Now, if you're like me, I heard the message for years before I ever gave in. And if you're one of those people, my prayer for you is that God's going to finally break you, you know, to where you have nowhere but to look up, and that you'll take him up on this offer of mercy. He's a great God. He's a good God. He's holy, and he's just. And he's done everything he can to save us from the wrath and the judgment that's coming on this world.